temperature, pulse, and respiration. This program is one in a series on basic nursing care created and produced by Trainex Corporation. Temperature, pulse, and respiration are three vital signs which directly reflect your patient's condition. Since a change in any of these three vital signs could indicate a worsening in your patient's condition, it is important that his temperature, pulse, and respiration be checked several times a day. In fact, these three vital signs are usually taken together as a single unit of observation. Temperature is a measure of body heat. The instrument used to measure temperature is the thermometer. Thermometers are basically glass tubes which contain mercury. The bulb or silver end of the thermometer acts as a reservoir for the mercury. As the bulb end is heated, the mercury expands and travels up the glass tube or stem. The unit of measurement used to describe temperature is the degree. Each long line on the thermometer represents 1 degree. Whether the thermometer you use is a centigrade or a Fahrenheit thermometer, the calibrations are the same. Each long line represents 1 degree. The even-numbered degrees are marked with numbers, while the odd-numbered degrees are not. For example, the top thermometer registers 98 degrees Fahrenheit. The middle thermometer registers 99 degrees Fahrenheit. And the bottom thermometer registers 100 degrees Fahrenheit. The shorter lines each represent 2/10 of a degree. There are 4 shorter lines between each degree mark. These 4 shorter lines represent 2/10, 4/10, 6/10, and 8/10 of 1 degree. For example, the top thermometer registers 98 degrees Fahrenheit exactly. The middle thermometer registers 98 2/10 degrees Fahrenheit. And the bottom thermometer registers 98 6/10 degrees Fahrenheit. There are 3 kinds of clinical or hospital thermometers commonly used. This is an oral thermometer. Its bulb end is long and slender, and it breaks easily. This is a safety thermometer, another type of oral thermometer. Its bulb end is short and stubby, and it breaks less easily. This is a rectal thermometer. Its bulb end is also short and stubby. Notice the red mark on the stem end. This red mark distinguishes the rectal thermometer from the oral thermometers. While the two most commonly used methods of taking the temperature are the oral method and the rectal method, a third way, the axillary method, is also used. Let's examine each of these methods separately. The oral or by mouth method is the most convenient way to measure temperature. Before taking your patient's temperature, wash your hands thoroughly. Then approach and identify your patient. Read his hospital identification band and call him by name. The thermometer may be kept at the bedside. Take the thermometer from its container and read the level of mercury. If it registers higher than 95 degrees Fahrenheit, you must shake the thermometer down. To do this, grasp the thermometer firmly by its stem end and shake it sharply using a downward motion of the wrist. Stand away from furniture and hold the thermometer away from your body to avoid breaking the instrument. Slip the bulb end of the thermometer under your patient's tongue and instruct him to close his mouth around the thermometer without biting down on it. Ideally, the oral thermometer is left in place for 8 full minutes. However, 3 minutes will usually be sufficient. Check your hospital procedure manual for directions. While waiting for the temperature to register, take the pulse and respiration as described later in this film strip. When the 3 minutes have passed, take the thermometer from your patient's mouth. Use a tissue to wipe the thermometer free of mucus and other secretions that could interfere with your reading. Rotate the thermometer until the mercury column is visible alongside the calibrations and read the temperature. This thermometer registers 98 6/10 degrees Fahrenheit, the average oral temperature. After reading the temperature, write it down. Do not trust your memory. After cleaning the thermometer as described in your hospital procedure manual, return it to the container. The rectal method of taking the temperature is less convenient than the oral method, but it is more accurate. The rectal thermometer and lubricant may be kept at the bedside. Before taking a rectal temperature, draw the curtains around your patient's bed and identify her. Place your patient in the SIMS position and shake down the thermometer. Use a tissue to apply lubricant to the bulb end of the thermometer. As you lubricate the bulb, check it for rough places or cracks. Never use a thermometer that is not completely smooth to your touch. Next, separate the patient's buttocks to expose the anus. Never insert a rectal thermometer until you can clearly see the anus, as you could cause your patient needless pain. When the anus is visible, insert the thermometer about 1 1/2 inches into the rectum. Hold the thermometer in place for 5 full minutes. After the 5 minutes have passed, remove the thermometer and wipe it with a tissue. Then read the thermometer. This thermometer registers 99 6/10 degrees Fahrenheit, the average rectal temperature. Note that the average rectal temperature is 1 degree higher than the average oral temperature. After reading the temperature, write it down. A capital R after the reading indicates that the temperature was taken rectally. The axillary method of taking the temperature is used only when the oral or rectal methods cannot be used. This method is the least accurate of the three. The patient might have multiple injuries that require him to remain on his back and at the same time limit movement of his lower jaw. Before taking the axillary temperature, wipe the underarm area dry. The presence of perspiration could interfere with the temperature reading. Then place the bulb end of an oral thermometer in the center of the armpit. Cross your patient's arm over his chest to hold the thermometer in place. With your patient in this position, you can take his pulse and respiration while waiting for the temperature to register. When 10 full minutes have passed, remove the thermometer and wipe it with a tissue to remove traces of perspiration. Read the thermometer. The average axillary temperature is 97 6/10 degrees Fahrenheit, 1 degree lower than the average oral temperature. After reading the temperature, write it down. A capital A after the reading indicates that it was measured by the axillary method. When frequent temperature measurements are required, electronic thermometers are often used. To use these thermometers for measuring oral temperature, be sure to use a clean probe. Check to see that it is correctly attached. Slide the tip of the probe along the floor of the mouth until it rests at the base of the tongue. The temperature registers in just a few seconds. To measure rectal temperature electronically, use a clean rectal probe. Insert the probe no further than 1/2 inch for an adult or 1/4 inch for a small child. Tape the probe in place so that your patient can move freely. When a reading is needed, simply turn on the meter. The temperature registers in a matter of seconds. Surface temperature can also be measured electronically. Tape the device to the bottom of the great toe. When a reading is needed, turn on the meter and wait a few seconds for the temperature to register. The pulse is the expansion and contraction of the arteries as they help to pump blood through the body. In fact, each time the heart beats, the arteries expand. Therefore, the pulse beat is a reflection of the heart's activity. Pulse may be felt at any point where an artery crosses over a bone near the skin. These points are called pressure points. When taking the pulse, three characteristics should be observed: the rate, rhythm, and quality. The pulse rate is the number of pulse beats per minute. The average pulse rate varies with the age, sex, and size of the patient. For example, an infant's pulse rate is almost twice as fast as that of an adult. And women usually have higher pulse rates than do men. The pulse rhythm is the pattern by which the pulse beats are spaced. Normally, the beats are regular, about evenly spaced. A pulse that is variously spaced is said to be irregular. The quality of the pulse reflects the strength of the pulse beats and the pressure within the artery. Normally, all pulse beats feel about equally strong. But if the pulse beats are unusually strong, but evenly spaced, the pulse is described as a bounding pulse. When the pulse is weak and rapid, it is said to be thready. To take the radial pulse, place the tips of your first three fingers over the radial artery on the thumb side of the wrist. Use just enough pressure to feel the pulse, and never use your thumb, as it has a pulse of its own. Count the number of pulse beats in a full minute. After you are more experienced, you may usually count for 30 seconds and multiply by 2 to get the number of beats per minute. However, an irregular pulse must always be counted for a full minute. Continue to hold the wrist in this manner while you observe the pulse rhythm and quality. Immediately after taking the pulse, write it down. If your patient's pulse is exceptionally fast or slow, or if there has been a change in his pulse since the last reading, report it to your team leader. Sometimes the pulse is taken in the legs to check the circulation in the lower extremities. The leg pulse is counted in the same way as the radial pulse. Only the pressure point is different. The pressure points commonly used to take the leg pulse are located in the groin, behind the knee, on top of the foot, and above the ankle. Measuring the pulse over the apex of the heart gives an accurate count of the number of heartbeats per minute. To take the apical pulse, place a stethoscope under the left breast. Count one beat for each complete lub-dub sound heard. For example, this constitutes 3 apical pulse beats. Respiration refers to the inspiration and expiration of air. One respiration consists of one inspiration or drawing in of air and one expiration or expelling of air. Observe your patient's respiration for rate and volume. The respiration rate is the number of respirations per minute. This rate varies with the age and sex of the patient. For example, an infant averages twice as many respirations per minute as an adult. Women usually have faster respiration rates than men. The volume of respiration refers to the amount of air inspired and expired by the patient. If he inspires and expires great amounts of air, his respirations are said to be deep. Conversely, when he inspires and expires only small amounts of air, his respirations are said to be shallow. If your patient knows that you are watching him breathe, he will unconsciously alter his breathing rate. Therefore, it is best to observe respiration immediately after taking the pulse, while your fingers are still on his wrist. To observe your patient's respiration, feel for the rise and fall of his chest or his abdomen as he breathes. Count the number of respirations in a full minute. Remember that one respiration consists of one inspiration and one expiration. At the same time, observe your patient for signs of painful or labored breathing. Again, do not let him know that you are watching him breathe. Record the respiration rate and volume immediately after observing them. Report to your team leader any marked change in your patient's breathing. Remember that your patient's physician relies on you to keep accurate records of temperature, pulse, and respiration. Your observations may provide the first indication that your patient's condition is worsening or improving. This is why it is so important that you carefully observe and record these three vital signs.